newsletter. I brought a few copies with me tonight, and they'll be out on the refreshment table in the hall. Maybe. If you're on the mailing list, don't take them, because they went out in the mail today. So leave them for the people that aren't on the mailing list. Or read it and put it back. Our next reading will be 1 week from tonight at the Terrace Lounge of the Union. The graduate student reading. And the readers are Ann Wagner, Gail Larrick, Catherine Catalani, and Marjorie Sussman. That's next week, the 16th of June tonight. And 2 weeks from tonight, John Logan will be reading for us in this auditorium. I'm very happy to announce that this Friday night, that's the 11th, William Stafford will be reading at the Wilmot Library, Tucson Public Library. Wilmot Branch is 530 North Wilmot. That's where 5th and Wilmot meet. And that reading, please note, will begin at 7:30. Mr. Stafford is with us this evening. The newsletter, I'm sure you'll be glad to see, has a listing of the events for the Tucson Festival, the Tucson Poetry Festival at the end of March. We'll be hearing a great deal more about that in the days to come. And please do stay for punches at the festival. Gerald Stern comes to us tonight from Iowa, where it's very cold. That's why it quit raining today, just for him. His books are The Pineys, Lucky Life, which was the winner of the 1977 Lamont Prize from the Academy of American Poets, The Red Coal, and two chapbooks, The Naming of Beasts and Rejoicing. His work appears in such literary magazines as the American Poetry Review, Paris Review, New Yorker, The Nation, Iowa Review, and many others. His honors include a Guggenheim Fellowship, two fellowships from the National Endowment, Poetry's Best Spoken Award, and many others. We're very happy to introduce you to Gerald Stern.
Can I borrow a watch so that I don't have to see that pompous job of a, like a guy in a railroad. And you forgot to mention Ironwood magazine. How could you do that? I'm very, very happy to be here in an audience composed of people that some of whom whose work I know very well and have never met, and looking forward to meeting at various festive occasions in the next couple of days. My sister-in-law is here. I won't embarrass her by that, but we've seen each other twice in our lives. We had dinner tonight, and this is the third time, so we're getting to the old thing. And I'm very pleased and honored that Bill Stafford is with us tonight. I'm delighted to see him. And last time we saw each other, I remember somebody spilled something on you. You probably don't remember. Something on your pants in Buffalo. Okay, enough of that stuff. You remember that? I thought what I would do, I was wondering what I should do tonight, and it's clearly always a problem. It's more a problem for the poet than anybody else. He says, she says, Well, what shall I do if I don't read them if I don't read them that poem? How could they bear it? I mean, they can't possibly survive if I don't. And then, well, wait, I have 17 more to read, because you can't go away without hearing this poem. And then you go home that night, you're lying in your bed saying, it wasn't too bad. I forgot to read. You know, nobody except the poet cares about that. And yet he wants to do a representative job. And generally, he wants to read the stuff that he's just written. But if he's giving a reading in this kind of place, in such an occasion, he feels, in addition, that he should do some representative poems from this book, from that book, if he happens to have a this book or that book. I thought what I would do would be to read a small group of poems from The Red Coal, which is my most recent book, and then read mostly some recent poems, some very recent poems, in fact. Because ultimately, I think, and you know, you might disagree over punch and cookies, that you read at a certain level for yourself to see how it sounds. You test it out, test the waters out, and maybe I'll read one or two poems if you want from Lucky Life. And we'll just see how things go. I know when you're getting bored. Believe me, I've been there thousands of times. I'm terribly sensitive about it. I apologize in advance. The faces I love. Once and for all, I will lie down here like a dead man, letting the socialists walk over my face, letting the fascists crawl through my veins, letting the Krishnas poison me with their terrible saffron. Once and for all, I will lie here helpless and exhausted. I will let dishonor rise from me like steam, and tears fall down on me like oily rain. In the end, my stillness will save me. In the end, the leopard will walk away from me in boredom and trot after something living, something violent and warm to excite him before his death. In the end, I will have my own chair. I will pull the blinds down and watch my nose and mouth in the blistered glass. I will look back in amazement at what I did and cry aloud for 2 more years, for 4 more years, just to remember the faces, just to recall the names, to put them back together, the names I can't forget, the faces I love.